All right. Hello and welcome, everybody in the audience and at home, to the Thursday, September 5th special edition of PWAB. As we get started, please note that we have a quorum and the meeting now comes to order. As we get started, could we have a moment of silence, please? All right, thank you. Moving on, we on to the next item on the agenda is announcements or presentations. Do we have any announcements from the board? No announcements here. Any announcements out? Anybody like to public comment? This could be public comment if anybody wanted to approach the mic. Nobody's moving? Okay. So we don't have any. So moving on. All right. So since this is a special meeting, we don't have a consent calendar, nor do we have any old business. We're on to item number C, which is new business. Morrow Creek Multi-Use Trail and Bridge Project, presentation of design and budget alternatives. So, up to you.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to open by saying how excited we are to have Barry Ranzo, project manager, and Mike Sherrod from R&M Design Group with us today to give us some conceptual overviews of how we might bridge Morrow Creek for pedestrians and bicyclists. It's a really important project for us, one that we've all been looking forward to, and we're ready to welcome public comment to help steer us in the right direction.
I can't but agree with you, Rick, and I especially like your pun in terms of bridging the gap there. So I really do appreciate this because I've been going across that creek for years, so this is absolutely wonderful. And by looking at everybody's face in the crowd, folks in Morrow Bay are excited for this. So I guess, are you up, Mike?
Barry Ranz, associate engineer and project manager, as Rick mentioned, and just wanted to give little background. This project has a long history in the planning stages and the conceptual stages, and it was only in the last year or so that we actually got some funds to be able to pull this off. And one of the first steps was to find a consultant that to do the engineering and the planning for us, and we did some rigorous vetting of different consulting firms and came up with RRM. Mike Sherrod is the principal at RRM. And so Mike will then present to us what he's got so far in terms of different alternatives for getting across Morrow Creek, bridging that gap, and not only talking about the bridge, but some of the general layout of the overall project, because it is more than just a bridge. It's going to be an extension of the harbor walk to get us from that location all the way over to the other side of the creek. And I'll turn it over to Mike.
Thanks, Barry. And now before I begin, I just want to say also how happy I am to be here as a representative of RM Design Group. As Barry mentioned, I'm a principal. I'm also a landscape architect and have spent about the last 20 years focused on developing trails, public trails throughout the state. And it's really nice to be able to do it in my own town. I live here as well. And my kids have grown up on the first phase of the Harbor Walk, which we had a part of our hand in. It's really exciting to be able to move on to extending this project. I'm very excited. If we could maybe dim the lights a little bit for the presentation and walk you through what we... There he goes. First, by way of a bit of orientation, a lot of us know where the project is, but just to go over that, and again, essentially the project is connecting with the existing Harbor Walk and roughly in this area and primarily extending along the Dirt Embarcadero, and I'm using the mouse to highlight where we're pointing, and over Morrow Creek. There's three main project components to this system. First, of course, is the boardwalk, which, as you can see, is the highlighted in yellow and takes us over to the parking lot at the pit. Second major component is the bike path, Class 1 bike path, that connects to the existing parking lot at the head of the Harbor Walk and then over the Morrow Creek. And then finally, the bridge, which is probably the most significant component of this project and the subject of your discussion today. the boardwalk pathway and the bike, the boardwalk and the bike path details are similar to what we've done, what has been done for the harbor, first phase of the harbor walk. We want to bring forward that same system, which consists of an 8-foot-wide raised pedestrian boardwalk running adjacent to a 12-foot-wide bike path. And the widths are important. The 12-foot-wide was developed in concert with community members and the Surrey rental owner and the kite company, looking at how the Surreys and the bikes were using. At that time, we only had Embarcadero Road and Coleman Drive to get to the Rock, and there were, at peak summer weekends, there were traffic jams occurring with Surreys and bikes getting in the roadway with people trying to get to the Rock. So the system was developed wide enough to handle the Surreys. And the components are going to match and extend the harbor walk. This is a shot, a picture of the harbor walk near the trailhead. Here's a bit of a close-up of the decking material, which I provided a sample for your board to review. It's a green product. It's recycled lumber and plastic, and it's from sawdust from mills, so it's recaptured, and then recycled plastic and chippings, and it's a pretty good product to use. And then the bike path itself would be similar to the current system, which is an asphalt path bound by the concrete curbs, carry bicycles, and, as I mentioned, wide enough to handle Surreys. And we truly have a multi-use system in all sense of the term. What I'd like to do briefly is walk us through the alignment, and then we'll end at the bridge and have a discussion about the bridge alternatives. And for orientation in these slides, we have a key map at the bottom to orient us. More Bay here. This red square represents the view that we're looking at on screen. And we're beginning, if we look at my mouse, this is the entrance to the power plant. And this is the existing parking lot for the Harbor Walk. The project is intended to continue. There's the Class 2 systems, which are on-lane striped bike lanes that come down Embarcadero, terminate at the entrance to the power plant right here. If a rider was desirous to continue to the creek and over in North Morro Bay, the roadway itself is narrow, and through earlier permit conditions to build phase one of the harbor walk was limited to 22 feet. There's no, without the ability to add bike lanes. This gray extension of the Class 1 system provides that bike facility out to the Dirt Embarcadero. It also provides, it's located in this spot because this is already a four-way intersection or a crossing. It's a logical place for that crossing to happen. And then pedestrians, which currently use the harbor walk, just remain on the harbor walk. We have all the pedestrian facilities to the water side of the system at this point. And then moving down a little bit, we get to where Coleman Park comes in, and we have the intersection of the Dirt Embarcadero with Embarcadero Road, Coleman Drive, sort of the change out. And this area right here is where we have current parking for kayak users and some folks, and Coleman Park is on the other side of the system. The idea here is, as we continue our discussion of the Class 1 path, is to bring it to this intersection, cross, and then start a new system out to the creek. It also includes making a connection, knowing that there's these things that we look at called desire lines. In a path of travel where someone is walking or riding, they have a desire to go right to their point and will typically make their own way. You've probably seen that in parks where they've got really nice perpendicular sidewalk system, but there'll be a curved footpath worn to get to the trail you want to go to. So recognizing there's a desire to get from the Dirt Embarcadero over to the waterfront, we want to extend a piece of the bike path as well as the harbor walk. We can take pedestrians who were maybe on the way out to the Rock who want to go explore Morro Creek or even head over to North Morro Bay can come across and do that. And then from once you've crossed Embarcadero Road, where my mouse is now, it's a dual system similar to the drawings that I was showing you, where we have the boardwalk to the beach side looking out over the dunes, and we have the bike path closest to the dirt, the unpaved roadway, which would remain unpaved with this project. And then moving forward, this is essentially the middle piece between Coleman Park and between the parking lot. One thing I wanted to note is we do have an opportunity, given the landform, there's a low spot in the dunes which over time is conceived of as being restored to coastal dune habitat. It's a great opportunity for a dune overlook for a little bit of interpretive and educational aspects to happen right here. And as we continue then to the terminus of this project, which is at the Pitt parking lot, it does a couple of things here. The two systems are coming to, they come together along the dunes, and what the plan right now is to continue, obviously, over the creek with a bridge into the north side, and then provide new year-round coastal beach access or coastal access via a bike path and the harbor and the boardwalk. And the reason that you see this configuration with everything pushed off to one side is it's not haphazard, but it's been given a lot of thought and it's evolved. What we're trying to do is provide a permanent system that gets people as close to the beach as possible with as little disruption to the native habitat as possible. And we first looked initially at doing a looped system that essentially created what you would recognize as a former formal parking lot with a walkway ringing it and parking in the middle. The dunes, though, however, in this area move over time. And we went to the Coastal Records Project, which is records photographs of the California coast over time, and you can see the fact that the dune system is quite alive there. And as we began looking at that, realizing that it becomes more difficult to put fixed infrastructure there and try and then maintain it for different reasons, we began looking at the creek side, which is actually held up by the creek is actually armored with rock, and it's got fill over it. It's similar in construction to the parking lot at the Rock. And it's fairly stable. When we go back and look at the Coastal Records projects, the creek edge doesn't move, but the dune edge does. So for those reasons, we began to look at a system that brought the trail along the more stable side and hopefully less impactful to the environment, and then maintains the existing informal parking area, unpaved parking at the pit. People can continue to use it as they always have done. And another important point is that there is currently a hugging up against the dunes and an emergency access to the beach, and Harbor Patrol uses it, lifeguards use it, and Project Surf Camp uses that to get down to the beach and stage. And for all those reasons, we wanted to make sure that that remains open and unaffected by this project, which this solution of staying by the creek side achieves that for us. Sorry, back one more. And then finally, get to the big item, which is the bridge, which we'll talk about in a little more detail here in a minute. And I wanted to look at the north side just a bit. The north side is a little bit tricky in that, as you know, right now there's simply a white barricade that tells you at the end of the road, and then it turns towards the coast and takes you into the other dirt parking lot. The idea here is to fix that corner, and the gray that you see is new paving in the street to widen that out a little bit and provide a better link to mouse here. Provide a direct link from the roadway, which at some point in the future will have class 2 bike lanes on, allow cyclists to get on and off the bridge. It also does it takes the existing sidewalk that terminates right now in front of the RV park and extends it and bends it around to line pedestrians up with a bridge. So it's a continuation of the harbor walk system, takes a different form on the north side. And then finally, there is an existing RV park emergency access road, and we need to maintain that. And this approach allows for that access to remain. And coming back to the bridge, which is the biggie, before we looked at the alternatives, which if you had a chance to look, we saw those up, but there was a little bit of work ahead of time in that we had to look at, and there are some goals that we're trying to achieve in the design, and the team was looking at how we could achieve those. And I wanted to share those goals with you. The first and foremost is to clear span the creek, and that's done for a number of reasons, but primarily it limits the amount of impact to the creek channel, thereby reducing the number of permits to obtain, which allows this project to move through a more streamlined process, which is important for this particular process. And it has an impact on cost as well, fewer permits, less cost. The drawing that you see on screen is a very conceptual drawing to illustrate what we were trying to achieve. The two black lines indicate the top of the creek bank, and that defines the creek channel. We are trying to clear span that bridge, that area with the bridge. To do that, we needed a structure that's approximately 130 feet long. We also wanted to make sure that we're able to address multiple users. Surreys are probably going to come over this. We know we'll have cyclists. You may get a lot of people out with their strollers and baby joggers. You'll get on event days, like people trying to get over to the 4th of July parade or the pirate parade coming from North Warr Bay. We've all experienced the volume. We know there's going to be a fair number of users, so we want to make sure there's capacity for that, as well as room to provide emergency access for vehicles. And to do that, we needed a 12-foot minimum clear distance. And if we look at going to even larger emergency vehicles, then that bridge would get wider to at least 14 feet. But the minimum is 12 that we're looking at. And then the three alternatives that we're going to look at meet all three of these tests. They achieve all the goals. The first alternative, alternative one, is called a through truss bridge structure. And it's a pretty common one you've seen around. It has a lower profile, meaning from the elevation of the deck that you're riding or standing on, it goes up 4.5 feet to the top of the guardrail. So it's a fairly low structure. And it is the surface material could be concrete or asphalt, recycled lumber, or real wood. We have options within and all three bridges are the same. The decking material you have a variety of choices. And at this point, in looking at materials, it's likely candidate would be all weathering steel, and I believe the existing bridge over Morrow Creek by Lila Kaiser Park is that material. It's metal that scabs over and then stops the oxidation process. And in a coastal environment where we've installed these, those seem to have the longest life as opposed to a painted structure or galvanized, that when those get chipped, they begin to fail. And the clear width on this one between the handrails is 12 feet clear. Actually, there's above the handrails is 12 foot 6 inches, but the clear distance between obstructions is 12 feet. And this is a photograph of this type of a structure. I believe this is in Goleta. And then we took the drawings that our bridge engineers were working on and modeled them and brought them into Google Earth to our site. This is actually where the bridge would cross to get a feel for how it might look in the landscape. And you can see in the background, it's fairly conceptual, but it shows the trail heading back towards the Harbor Walk and Morro Bay, and coming out to the pit parking lot and then coming across and over to here. It gives you a sense of scale between the cyclists and the people walking, you know, what we've got going on out there. And bridge alternative 1A is the bridge alternative I described to you. That is wider, and it's sized up for heavier loading. I don't believe this is in your packet. This was something that was developed yesterday as we were finishing out some of the calculations. But the significant difference here is that this dimension is 2 feet wider than the lighter load structure. And the other impact is that the bridge deck itself, in order to account for the heavier structural members, gets a little bit thicker. But overall, the visual impact is not changed very much from the lighter load structure.
Mike, can we ask questions, or you want to just finish and then ask questions?
Yeah, we can ask questions.
One right now is the height of this number one. What would be the height of the metal on the side?
From the deck that you're standing on, it would be 4.5 feet.
And that's him. That's pretty much what the ones over at Lila Kaiser by the freeway there?
I believe the ones, are they taller? They seem taller.
It might be. I think it seems a little taller over there.
Yeah.
Okay, and with 1A, it'd be the same height also?
Correct. Okay. 54 inches or 4.5 feet.
Okay, thank you.
Alternative 2 is a decorative arc type structure, and the significant differences here are really in the feel, and the look and the feel of the structure. It is getting its structural stability from the decorative arch that you see up on top here. What the net effect that has is that the guard railing, which in the previous alternative one was part of the structural system, it had a heavy feel to it because it's helping support the bridge. In this case, the decorative arch or arch is supporting the bridge, and the railing is a little, can be a little lighter because it's then there for code compliance to prevent somebody from falling over and falling through the side rails and below the bridge. So it has a bit of a different feel. In terms of the height, it's a little bit taller. I believe it's 10 feet 6 inches tall at the tallest point, if I have that dimension right. Yeah. So it's a bit at the apex of the curve of the arch, then right here we have a height of 10 and a half feet. But it, you know, it gets lower and falls almost to zero as you reach the banks of the creek. The interior dimensions are the same. They're clear 12 feet, with 12 and a half being the clear distance at the top of the structure. And in both cases, the bridges are 130 feet long. I didn't mention the length on the previous one. And I have a photograph of this sort of structure installed. This is actually on the East Coast, but it's very similar to the type of structure we've been looking at aesthetically. You get a feel for, you see where the structural members come in, you can see it in the arch, and you can see the relative lightness of the railing system. And the decking materials I mentioned could be a variety of materials. It's our choice. And this, again, we modeled this one and put it in the same orientation as we did the first one in Google Earth to see what it might look like on site. And it gives you a sense for some of the scale and perhaps the see-throughness or opacity, depending on how you look at each alternative. And we looked at a third alternative, which is a cable stayed type structure. And here the significant difference is that the structure is actually coming from this arch, which is founding itself back against the abutments. The cables are draped from that structure and hold up the deck. It's a different type of a solution. Aesthetically, it has more components to it. We'll see that in another photograph I have. But you can see another difference is as you move from bottom to top, rather than vertical size, they tilt in to create this center support bracing. And in the plan view down here, you can see that sort of X pattern bracing to give it its rigidness. This structure is both longer and a little bit wider. It's about 135 feet long because of the way the foundations are designed. And the bridge deck itself is out at 17 feet wide because of the way the structural components come together. It's creating an arch in two directions, so the decking is wider. The actual clear distance inside the bridge for cyclists or pedestrians to pass is 12 foot clear as well. So the usable space is the same, has the same clear zone, but the deck itself is wider. And this is a photograph. This is in Santa Barbara County. It gives you a feel for the structure, how the components come together. You can see the cable stays coming down and supporting the lower deck structure, cross bracing up on top. And again, we modeled this structure at the proposed crossing location over Moore Creek to get a sense for how it might look and feel on in our site. And as you can see in this one, it looks a little bit wider than the other two.
But Mike, on this one, on option one and 1A, you talked about making it wider to handle larger emergency vehicles. The width of this one, that's not an option. Cost is probably part of it, too.
Yeah, all three options could be designed to carry a heavier load, and in all cases, they would have a minimum 14-foot wide clear zone for fire. In this case, for the arch types, this arch, our cable stayed, because of the way the superstructure above comes together, we'd likely have to widen the deck out a little bit further to account for the 14-foot clear at 14, I believe it's 14 and a half or 14-foot, 7-foot off the ground to allow, if you simplified a fire truck into a long rectangle, you have to pass that rectangle through the bridge. And then by way of comparison, because your job is to think about which bridge type that you'd like to recommend to move forward with as we continue to refine the project. And provided a comparative summary to recap what we were talking about here, we looked at the height, the width, the length, relative visual impact. I wanted to talk about that for a second. And visual impact, to some degree, is your perceived measure of impact, but more or less it's how dense, how tall, how big, how bulky is this thing. It's an important component because as we look forward to obtaining a coastal development permit, one of the elements that they will look at is whether or not it has a visual impact on the resource, which is the coast, and then to what degree if there is an impact. So the way to think about it as you're deliberating and the way that coastal staff looks at this is to imagine yourself with you're facing the ocean and you're looking at Mora Rock and you're looking at the sunset and you're looking up coast. They want the bridge to not catch your eye. The more that it catches your eye in their measure, the more of an impact that is, because the coastal resource is what the Coastal Act is trying to protect. So you need to think about that. So the reason we have relative visual impact, and it'll be a low to high range, is for that reason. You need to consider that. And then cost as well. We have cost option one, which is for the standard loading, which we've shown you all three of those bridges. And then cost option two is if we were to design that then for the heavier loading, that's it's a higher cost to the project. And to fill that in, alternative one, structure height is 4.5 feet, structure width is 12.5 feet, and the structure length is 130 feet. It has a relatively low visual impact. The standard loading cost is $405,000, and the heavy loading is $560,000. And alternative two, which is the decorative arch structure, is a little bit higher. It's 10.5 feet, but it's still the same width, 12.5. It's 130 feet long as well. It has the mid-range in terms of visual impacts. The standard loading cost is $470,000, and then upsizing it to the heavier loading is just a little under $600,000 at $595,000. And then finally, the third alternative is the tallest of the three. It's 13.5 feet at its highest point. It's a little over 17 feet wide on the deck. It's 135 feet long. It has a higher relative visual impact, 505,000 standard loading, and for the heavier loading, up to 645,000. And I'll leave that slide up for referencing, and we can move around anywhere in this presentation too. If you want to go back to a graphic, I'd be happy to do that. That concludes my presentation. Turn that back over to the board.
Okay, with that said, would we want to open up to public comment first before we deliberate? Yes? Okay. If we could get the lights back on. Folks, if you'd like to speak, come up and approach the microphone, state your name, and who's going to be first?
Good afternoon. My name's Robert Davis. I live in Morro Bay. I really support this project. More than that, I support the least visual impact and the lowest cost for the bridge because we're stretching our dollars, and I really want to build a complete project that connects to the existing harbor walk. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Gayska Velasquez. I am the North Coast Regional Planner for San Luis Obispo County, San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. I'm also the Scenic Byway Coordinator for SLOCOG, and I'm also a resident of the city of Morro Bay. And really excited to be here tonight, this afternoon, in front of your board. A great presentation by your consultant. And I just wanted to remind your board that the development for this project is funded through a Scenic Byway grant. And I just wanted to remind you that because it is kind of a big deal. This means that nationally this project was considered significant. It was considered significant enough for the Federal Highway Administration to fund. And also, having said that, it is a scenic corridor. And so certainly not only will Coastal Commission consider the visual impact, but it's also important to the scenic byway program. All three alternatives are nice, But it's just another thing to consider. From the highway, there's little impact either way. But again, just another thing to consider. And additionally, the construction funding that is set aside for this project so far is an enhancement grant. And so anything that is considered vehicular in the project will not be covered through that grant. So another thing to consider as you're moving forward with the extra, the additives or the additional alternatives to the project. But it is important regionally, and it's important really on a statewide basis as being coastal trail. It's considered coastal trail, and it has national significance as being a scenic byway project. So good on everybody for getting this far, and SLOCOG is really supportive of everything you've done so far.
Thank you, Gaiska, and thank you, Red. All right, any other further public comments?
I'm Jack Robinson, a Morro Bay resident. Much of the comments about the width of the bike path were about Surrey's. In recent years, there's many more trikes that are being used by bicyclists, and they require essentially the same width as the Surrey, so that could easily be incorporated as one of the reasons for that width.
Thank you. That's a good point. Okay, come on, folks. Last chance. Up here we go.
Michael Lucas, a resident of Morro Bay. I'm also one of our planning commissioners, so I'll see this in a future date. But the only things I would like to ask that are taken into consideration is the nature of the project over time, which of the three alternatives has a maintenance aspect tied to it that may have a funding aspect or replacement of deck aspect for a certain kind of time. And then very carefully consider the impact of the heavyweight vehicle aspect, because it seems like if we have ways that insurance costs for the city or things like that were impacted by the types of vehicles that can now access different places, that might have a ripple effect somewhere down the line. And of course, you won't see any architect as I am that doesn't like Corten steel, so I'm happy to see the rusted steel look on our beachscape. I think that's a very beautiful look, and the least visual impact to me is personally the aesthetic that I would like. But great to see the thinking here, and very exciting project that's going to change our concept of the north end of the harbor. So thanks.
Thank you. Good point. Okay, so I see no one else coming up for public comment, so this ends public comment, and so we go to the board. And so would you like to start?
You're saying that alternative one is a lower impact visually than two, but when I looked at the two photographs of the slides, one almost looked more dense than two. Can you show us both of those again, please? The one of the more of a picture.
This is alternative two. Oop, too fast. This is alternative one.
Okay, but
the photograph.
I think they want the actual photo. There we go. Were you looking for the actual photograph?
Right. Okay, and then show us the photograph of two.
There we go.
That looks lighter and less dense than one and would be more see-through. The other one, the structure itself, looks so much heavier that it, from the beach, this would almost disappear, where the other one, you're definitely going to see a heavy structure going across there.
Yeah, let's clarify a bit on the relative visual impact. Where the measurements come in is looking at the height of a structure. So in both those cases, while the structure here, because of the guard railing, looks a little bit lighter, the height of the structure is almost five and a half feet taller, or 6 feet taller than the other structure. So again, from the coastal planning standpoint, that would be looked at as having more of a visual impact. But yeah, there is this notion of opacity too. It could it be lower but more dense, but in the end, it's really looking at the height of the structure.
Thank you.
Deb, did you have any comments?
I wanted to thank you for your presentation. It was very nice and very informative, not leaving me very many questions. And I wanted to thank the public for coming out and giving us their commentary. I wanted to clarify a couple of statements that you made. You said that this number one was naturally heavier in structure than the other two. It was heavier load.
No. All three alternatives are designed for light vehicles to cross them. They're designed for pedestrians and bikes.
Okay.
That loading accommodates then, say, a maintenance vehicle or an ambulance or a pickup truck to go over them. All three of those, the alternatives are designed that way. And then all three of them could be designed to carry a heavier vehicle, and they would need to be widened to do that. In the drawings that we provided on alternative one, we did actually take a little bit of time and develop a drawing, which you see here, which shows what alternative one would look like if it were built for the heavier structure. And that's what I think I've answered your question.
Yes, you have. Okay. And thank you for such wonderful choices. They're very nice.
My question was relating to 1A. You said you just did that a couple of days ago. Was there a reason why don't we just do Bridge 1 wider in the first place instead of... It's only 2 feet wider, right, 1A?
Yeah, there's a cost that goes into that. It costs more. I think it's roughly... The difference is $405,000 and for the lower... For the standard load, and then $560,000 for the heavier load. But we're not recommending that you select one. That's for your board to deliberate. We're just providing information so you can make a decision.
I got about five questions, but they're quick. The first one, does it require a stream bed alteration permit, and are you going to alter the floodway in any way? Are you totally out of it? I guess my question is this a prefab bridge coming in being set in place on piers, or is it going to be constructed in place?
It will be a prefabricated, pre-engineered superstructure brought in on truck. We will design it with the company that's going to make it, but they'll make it off-site, bring it in, and the foundation will be constructed on-site and the bridge attached to it. And to your first question, the very first goal was to clear span the creek to get out of core jurisdiction, and that's what we're trying to do.
So you're hoping to not have any core jurisdiction.
Right, and the designs that we've come up with so far, and looking at FEMA, the flood map elevations, and I know the city is developing another study to refine that number, we're very confident that we can stay above that elevation to stay out of the floodway.
Oh, okay.
And again, that goes to the streamlining and trying to make this happen as well.
The second question I had, and I think Mr. Lucas brought it up, and it's a question about the maintenance of it. I look at your initial costs, and they're actually pretty close in line with each other in my mindset. It comes down to how much actual maintenance work has to happen. Have you had an opportunity to take a look at the difference bridge styles you brought up and what the maintenance is? One more maintenance intensive, is one less?
We have not looked at that aspect of it, but my understanding, and our team member is Bengal Engineering. It's an engineering firm, structural engineering firm, and bridge engineer that we've worked with for over a decade now. And in looking at the structures, in fact, we had a conversation before this meeting. We haven't looked in detail. He was looking at the components containers, and really the weathering steel is the main factor. It's the biggest part of the bridge, and that's consistent between all three, so there's some consistency there. There's always an annual maintenance or inspection that occurs, And you know, beyond the specifics, when we have we haven't looked at the relative cost if one is, you know, 24 you know man hours a year to expect to inspect one over another or maintain it. We're not to that level yet.
Oh, okay. And then the third question on the aesthetic level, to me personally, I think they go up in aesthetics as you go up through your alternatives. I think the first one's the more Spartan looking, and then you get to the catenary arch at the end, which is a very beautiful looking bridge. My real concern, and this is part of the maintenance, and I'm not just talking about the painting or taking care of the metal, but when I see things that are overhead, like your catenary arch in this town, I see birds propped up on it taking craps all day long. And it's over the walking public on the catenary arch. It isn't on the structural arch, I noticed. But I guess I have a big concern about just keeping the bridge clean, because I look at every street light in this town. All you have to do is look at the ground underneath it. Would there be an ability to somehow maybe design into the structure a way, you know, where they – I hate those little – pinprick things going up in the air, but something to keep the birds off the bridge if you're going to go that route. The first one is nice because it's down at human level and birds aren't going to hang around that much as part of it. It's the least expensive. And for me, I would probably be leaning in that direction for those very reasons. I am worried about the fact of how clean that boardwalk, bike path are going to stay, especially with the catenary arch, because it kind of creeps in over the people as you get to the center of the structure. And other than that, I think they were all great looking plans. I'm a bridge kind of guy, so I tend to like the third one the best. It's the more elegant design. There's a lot of other reasons, especially here in Morro Bay, that you don't want things over your head when you're walking down the road. And that was the first thing that caught my eye in looking at that, actually. And I do appreciate your presentation. It was excellent. Thank you.
Mike, I have a couple questions. First, when you talk about the three designs and then you put in the component of the size and width of the bridges to accommodate larger emergency vehicles, besides the obvious of allowing larger emergency vehicles, is there any other advantage to having a larger bridge? You're satisfying your pedestrian, bicycle, whatnot. And so for that extra cost, you are bringing a larger emergency vehicle. But you're allowing with a smaller one emergency vehicles also. So what's the advantage?
Well, the advantage is that the structure designed for heavier loading can bring in a heavier vehicle, a different type of a vehicle than the standard loading could. So for example, if a fully loaded fire truck with water in the tanks needed to come across the creek, then having the extra width and the capacity to hold it would be a benefit. If that were determined necessary to meet service calls in the city, but the 12-foot wide standard load does meet the requirements for most cases. It gets maintenance vehicles, light vehicles like an ambulance could go across, bikes and pedestrians. And so they both structures carry the same, convey the same components. The heavy structure has the added benefit of carrying larger vehicles across.
Okay, and I can see that, especially Lord forbid if there were ever some sort of emergency that we needed, you know, so I understand that, but one hasn't been there. Okay, so there's that. Also, given the three different designs, and I agree with you, Stephen, that I like the arch and whatnot aesthetically. However, in terms of your degree of difficulty getting it through coastal, low, medium, high, even with a high bridge, do you think that would have a chance? Because that would be affecting the sight line significantly. So when you say it's a high degree of chance that it might to get it through, it could also fail, yes?
Well, there's, like I said, Coastal Commission is not predictable. Anything could fail. But I did have consultations with our coastal planner. I met him up in Santa Cruz, and we walked through the concept. We looked at some of the photographs of the structure types, And he was very candid and gave me his sense of where the Coastal Commission would come down. But he was clear that he said no. He didn't say no to anything. He just noted that there's varying degrees of difficulty to make findings to approve the bridge as you go up in height and the visual, the impact of the visual resource become, or the coastal resource becomes greater. What he was saying is that, yeah, you can get a permit. It's just going to take a little more work to get it. We'd have to figure out ways to maybe mitigate that. And I don't know what those mitigations might be, but that was in sort of planner speak, but looking at ways to offset whatever perceived impact there could be from a visual resource standpoint, we'd have to find a way to deal with that.
Could you go back to your cost count or your chart development?
Sure. Oh, I guess I should fill it in for you.
So looking at that, it's for that bottom, it's $100,000 difference, right, for the...
Correct.
Okay.
For cost option one, between alternative one and alternative three, there's a $100,000 difference.
And then also for option number three, in terms of doing for number three, did you say that it had an option two to make it wider?
All three could be widened.
Okay, but at a design, it looks like
those 645.
Yes, I'm trying to see there. Okay. So I see that. Okay, so that was one of my questions, because with that arch, you were saying that it's a limited capacity on option one, so it would have to be bigger, obviously, for option two. Okay. I see your point. All right, so anybody else have any questions before
I have one question, and it's more to the city than to you, Mike. Has there been a need shown to have heavy vehicles go across this? I guess my question would be, in light of the fact that I think the fire stations are all over on the Embarcadero side of this equation, they'd be coming down the Embarcadero as opposed to coming back in the other way. Has the fire department made a request for this, or someone else at this point, Rick?
That's a dialogue that's ongoing this time. Oh, okay.
And just to actually correct, there is a fire station two on the north side.
Oh, that's true.
And yeah. So, I mean,
good
who
point.
Knows?
I'm
what
sorry.
If? And okay. So, well, how about we open this up for discussion? Steve, you want to start since we started down here? What option are you thinking about? Or?
Honestly, the option I'm thinking about is I hate to say it, but the cheapest one. And there's several reasons. And one of the biggest ones is, in this town, if you have anything over your head, cable or anything else, you've got a mess. And I see it as something where you're going to have crews out there power washing this thing on a regular basis, where if you have it down to 4'6", and that's why I like it. From a pretty standpoint, no, I'm an engineer. I enjoy that. You know, that bridge arch, that last one, it's a very elegant solution. It probably gives you the best view in some ways, although the 4'6", anybody taller than that can see out very well. But, I mean, having the cables come down, it looks like there's actually less mass to it in the eye line area than the structural arch. So I tend to lean towards that one. But at the end of the day, I've lived in Morro Bay enough to know that some things become maintenance nightmares, and that kind of looks like it. So I'd like to see us probably get away from the heavy option, unless there's a real driving need that you got to have it for that purpose, because I think most of the things are going to be ambulance or those kind of things that can go on the lighter track. The only thing that really can, as best I could tell, it looked like it was 60K trucks weight-wise, is the fully laden water in the fire truck. And if you could get around that, it saves quite a bit of money in the overall scheme of things. And it isn't fully funded by your grant. So that's where I would be leaning if until I hear your opinions.
Okay, good points. Jan?
Oh, here. I'm leaning toward option number one also, because I just like minimal things, and that even if it's a heavier looking structure, it's not as high, it just seems, I can just picture it on the in that area better than I can the ones with the arches. So that's what I would be leaning for. And I hadn't even thought about the birds. I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm also leaning toward option one. Being true to Morro Bay, I kind of like to be surprised, and it's just nice to walk down a path and go, oh, look, there's a bridge over there. I didn't even see that. That's a nice thing to have happen. I like the natural, the more natural fitting in with the landscape. I don't think that the heavy loading is something that's necessary, because I think Matt almost started to say it is, we've lived all these years without fire trucks coming through there, so I don't know why they would suddenly change their routes and suddenly have to come down through there is something that I don't understand. I like the all-weather steel where the maintenance is low. The birds are a huge issue. I really agree with that. I just had a quick question now that I'm thinking about it. Would there be any reason to have any lighting on that bridge at night if people wanted to, on a summer night around dusk, wanted to walk through there?
I would say that lighting is always a serious concern of the Coastal Commission.
One thing,
it would also be an additional cost that hasn't been factored into the project.
But if it was set up as solars and put low on the footpath portion of it, shielded so it's not, you know, glaring up, I think maybe that's something that could be done without having to run electricity out there along those lines.
And that's all I have, I think.
Because that's an excellent point. It really is.
It really is. You don't want somebody falling.
Just from tripping hazards and everything else that may be going on.
Yeah. Because it's not just going to be, I mean, that's going to be a major thoroughfare going through there. So I'm option number one.
Well, I still like option two, but I agree with option one cost-wise and everything else. My concern is you're saying 4-6, but if you are a short person, you're going to have a bridge right here instead of sort of out of the way. This just seems really heavy at this level when you're walking across it. Price-wise, everything else I think is terrific. It appears to be heavy. Is it going to feel that heavy when it's built, or am I missing something?
When the structure is ultimately designed, we have choices in the guard railing component, which is the non-structural components. Those are the small pickets that keep little kids or someone from falling through. It's a code requirement. It's nothing greater. A sphere greater than 4 inches can't pass through, so that's how you design it. That's a requirement. Those pickets can be varying thicknesses and gauges, so we can actually look at the lightening the look of the structure by playing around with the gauges of those pickets. The drawing that we have is looking at a standard picket configuration from a manufacturer we were looking at, but that can be explored as we move through the design. The structural component, which is the top piece you're referring to under your chin, that size is driven by the length of the structure and the load it's going to carry, and that dictates that. That will be whatever it is. And we can't change that.
I understand. Okay.
I did have one last question, too. There's been a lot of talk about the visuals towards the ocean, but I'm trying to think who actually has a view upstream from Morro Creek looking back towards the ocean. Is there areas up there where you can actually stand? I can't think of any. I could think if you're down on the ocean end looking back up Morro Creek, but I think no matter which bridge you go with, it's going to be kind of shielded by all the vegetation and everything else going on upstream up Morro Creek. And I just want to throw that out because I'm not suggesting to go with the others. I'm actually looking at option one also, but I don't think that needs to be a dictate that you got to worry about that, because I think this thing's going to be kind of hidden from view unless you're down there right at the bridge location or on the beach.
That's a good point. Well, to close it off, I like the minimalist state of it. I like option number one in terms of minimalism. I like the way that structurally it somewhat ties into the bridge by Lila Kaiser. I like the cost idea of it. I like the idea that moving through the permitting process, the lower visual impact will maybe aid this on its way. I think it will also, it'll solve a number of things. It'll create our bicycle path, walk path from North Morro Bay, people coming north, doing a great job. However, it'll be very subtle. However, it'll be very effective. So I think I'm looking forward to that. Mike, I had another question, and it's not about the bridge. In terms of the area around the bridge on both sides, when you exit out onto the north side, and then as you enter from the south pit side, are you looking at some, and I think as Ron was talking about, the seating. Will they be thinking of benches or some sort of design in terms of people sitting there?
Yeah, as we go forward, we'll look for opportunities for seating. The dry stack rock benches that were created as part of the Harbor Walk seem to be pretty popular, and they actually have a very small footprint too. They work really well, and they're flexible. As opposed to a seat with a back, you know what you're supposed to do with it. You sit and you look in a particular direction. With the seat walls, we see them being used as picnic tables. Some people are looking different directions. Sometimes they straddle them, and we're looking at trying to bring those back in. Certainly at the terminus of the trail closest to the beach, where the Surrey parking is and bike racks would be, we'd want to have those benches out there. And actually it would make a good, it would complement the interpretive overlook if you could sit in that area. But yeah, we would look for opportunities for seating, and especially between Coleman Park and the pit, it's a fair distance to travel, and depending on, you know, what shape a person's in, may want to take a break along the way. We'd want to try and find some places to bring in some seating.
No, that's a really good point. I've talked to a number of people in the last couple of years that coming walking from the Morro Dunes Trailer Park and walking down the Embarcadero, and it is, especially for folks, the older folks. Okay, so with that, it seems like we're unanimous. Would someone like to make a recommendation? And, gentlemen, we want to make a recommendation that we move ahead with a particular design. Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah.
Okay. Would anybody like to?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we go with option number one, and with the light loading, and if it can be incorporated, maybe pickets at a lower gauge so that, you know, there's a little better visibility for the younger kids that'll be looking through it. But I think and that'd be true no matter which bridge you go with, because everyone's going to have a handrail. I just think the artist's conception or the architect's conception really didn't show those handrails happening through the arches. You're going to have that regardless of which one you go with. But that's my motion.
Okay. So we have a motion on the table for number one, light loading. Do we have a second?
Second.
And all those in favor, say aye.
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 The motion carries unanimous. All right. Perfect. Number one. All right, folks, if you have any questions at home, please come down. I think all the pictures are at planning and in the library if people wanted to come down and see the conceptual pictures. Is this where they are? Okay, and with that, that was the only thing on our agenda. Yes, sir.
Just one other note. In reviewing our schedule for the bridge project, we are on a real tight timeline, and that will necessitate another special meeting in the PWAP on the 26th. September. So you can check that for us and just give us some feedback.
So, folks, that is the 26th. That is three Thursdays from now. What time would you like to? What, yeah, is it this time, regular time, secret time?
Is this good, or you want to go for six?
I'd rather do six if I could.
Check to see if there's a conflict with the.
Oh.
Okay. How about if we go with that tentative? How about if we go with that date and we fill out the times as we get and check and see if there's conflicts? Was everybody fine with that date? Okay, you can't make that one? Okay. We'll let our other members know and see if we can get them there. Okay. Okay, so with that, we'll have our next meeting on the 26th of September, and we'll see you then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.